I'm going to try to stand this week. No promises. I mentioned last week about all of the get well cards and everything that I received when I was gone for what seemed like eternity. For me, with Jim and Wes and Don, I'm sure it didn't seem like eternity for you all. But I got some cards, and I mentioned these last week, but I want you ladies to know how much I appreciated these. You'll never know. But in case you weren't here last week, they made these for me, and I appreciate it. You're welcome. You're special. We love having you come. I read a prayer Thursday evening, and I just want to read it because I want us to stop and think. It really does tie into the message. It came from a friend of mine I went to high school with. He said, thought you might enjoy this interesting prayer given at the Kansas opening session of the Senate. Seems prayer still upsets some people. When Minister Joe Wright was asked to open the new session of the Kansas Senate, everyone is expecting the usual generalities, but this is what they heard. Heavenly Father, we have come before you today to ask your forgiveness and to seek your direction and guidance. We know your word says, woe to those who call evil good. But this is exactly what we have done. We've lost our spiritual equilibrium and reversed our values. We have exploited the poor and called it lottery. We have rewarded laziness and called it welfare. We have killed our unborn and called it choice. We have shot abortionists and called it justifiable. We have neglected to discipline our children and called it building self-esteem. We have abused power and called it politics. We have coveted our neighbor's possessions and called it ambition. We have polluted the air with profanity and pornography and called it freedom of expression. We have ridiculed the time-honored values of our forefathers and called it enlightenment. So he goes on to say, search us, O God, and know our hearts today. Cleanse us from every sin and set us free. Amen. The response was immediate. A number of legislators walked out during the prayer and protest. In 6 short weeks, Central Christian Church, where Reverend Wright is pastor, logged more than 5,000 phone calls. Only 47 of them negative. Does that surprise you? Last Wednesday, a passenger in a taxi was heading for the train station. He leaned over to ask the driver a question. He just wanted to get his attention, so he tapped him on the shoulder. The driver screamed, lost control, the cab, and nearly hit a bus. He drove over a curb and stopped just short of a huge plate glass window. For a few moments, everything was silent in the cab. The driver looked around and said, are you okay? He said, I'm sorry, but he said you scared the daylights out of me. Passenger shaking a little bit, apologized to the driver and said, I didn't realize it was just a mere tap on the shoulder. He said, I didn't know it would startle you so bad. And the driver said, well, no. He said, you don't realize. He said, I'm the one that should be sorry. It's entirely my fault. Today's the first day of driving a cab. I've been driving a hearse for 25 years. And I said last week that we started this series on God's just not fair. And I thought about the words of this song. when we don't think God is fair. So when you're on your knees and answers seem so far away, why is one person getting something and I'm not? You're not alone. Stop holding on and just be held. Sometimes that's hard to do. Your world's not falling apart. It's falling into place. Dumb on the throne. Stop holding on and just be held. Greg, you couldn't have picked a better song. Thank you. So the question today is, God, are you fair? At times we're all tempted to yell out like Sandy said and say, God, you're just not fair. It's just not right. Why do you allow my wicked neighbor to prosper and you yet allow such godly person as I am to suffer? Why do evil people live a long life and your saints suffer? It's just not fair. I don't know why. J. Phelps died at 20. I have no idea. But Judy, I have no idea why your son died at a young age. I have no idea why my son died 5 days before his 19th birthday. I have no idea. You probably saw the article in the paper. Thousands say goodbye to 10-year-old. I have no idea why Kyler Bradley died at 10 with cancer. I don't know. I have no answers. But I did see a wonderful quote this week from a guy by the name of Jake Hess. If you're familiar with Southern gospel music, you've heard the name Jake Hess. And if you've ever seen any of the Gaither homecomings, you would have seen Mark Lowry making fun of his hairpiece. But he suffered from quite a few things in his life, several different illnesses, and he actually had a chronic heart disease. And toward the end of his life, he was diagnosed with macular degeneration. And someone asked him about it, and his answer was, I've seen a lot of beautiful things. Why did that happen to him? I have no idea. There are just things out there we don't understand. But Psalm 73 kind of tackles that problem from reality, not from the ivory towers that we think we might get answers from, not from the government, but through the trenches of a painfully experience that the writer of that Psalms went through. He doesn't give a false view to the believer that everything is going to be all right. He doesn't go around saying in the trouble-free world that praise the Lord. He just doesn't do that. He has a very realistic showing that oftentimes praise doesn't come without a struggle. And sometimes that's hard to accept. In Psalms, I wish I had them going to open that. Psalm 73:2. I was telling everybody Thursday night I got a large print edition. There's a reason for that. He said, for I was envious of the arrogant, and I saw prosperity of the weak, wicked. But he says, as for me, my feet came closer to stumbling. My steps had almost slipped. What he's saying there is he almost slipped. And there are times that we go through struggles, and there's times that we look at things, and there's times that we look at other people around us and realize that it's a difficult thing. But what I think he's saying is on over in verse, a little bit later on in the chapter and over in between verses 25 and 26, he says, "Whom have I in heaven but you? Besides you, I desire nothing on earth. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever." There are a lot of people in this world that prosper. I'm not making a political statement. I will qualify it by what I'm saying, but we have one candidate running now that says he doesn't want money for his political campaign. In fairness to the other party, we've got one person running that says, "I want to take what that person has and give it to somebody that doesn't want to do anything." I mean, it balances out when you look at it both ways. I question, why should that happen? But the writer of the Psalms does show us that he questions the light of the prosperity of the wicked and the suffering of the righteous. Bad things happen to good people. Bad things happen to Christians who are tight with God. We all believe in, in a little suffering, but isn't there a quota? Shouldn't some people have enough? My clicker's gone today, so you'll have to bear with me. What do we deserve from God? When we ask, "Is God fair?" What do we deserve? So let's look at healing as an example. We talked about healing on Thursday night. We could choose almost any subject. We could choose, finances. We could choose anything. But I just happen to choose healing. I know you know that I believe that God heals people for several reasons, but the main one is he's healed me of something. So that's why I believe it. And I'm waiting on a couple more things. But I'm not giving up on believing. Because as we have continually said, we need to pray for something, then we need to thank God for hearing that prayer and praising him for that. There are a couple of views that are shared by many people in this whole idea of healing, but we could talk about prosperity, we could talk about anything, because there are people out there that preach a prosperity gospel. Some people believe that all healing should be healed. When a person's not healed, they attribute that to their lack of faith. But Thursday night we talked about the fact that the daughter of the centurion, Jairus, was healed, and she didn't have any faith. The 12-year-old daughter. She didn't have any faith. She probably didn't even know that her dad was going to see Jesus about her healing. But yet, she was healed. And I think it's interesting that when he went back, he had Peter and John with him. And people were laughing and scoffing. And he sent them out of the room because of their unbelief. And had the mother and the father and Peter and John in there with him when he said, "She's only asleep." I think that's interesting. So the idea there is, if you have enough faith, God's going to heal you. If you have enough faith, God's going to let you win the lottery if you buy a ticket. If you have enough faith, God's going to give you a brand new car. God's going to give you a brand new house. There is that thought process out there. I don't ascribe to it, personally. Others believe that God allows sickness and suffering, and both can be redeemed by God for a purpose. I believe God heals people for a purpose, and that purpose is that he might be glorified. But we're not sick because we deserve it. And we're not healed because we deserve it. We don't win the lottery because we deserve it. I love listening to Dave Ramsey. I don't know if you ever listened to him or not, but love the guy. He says, you don't see people driving Mercedes stopped in front of a lottery office buying a ticket. I love that. And it's true. Aaron, the brother of Moses, had two sons named Nadab and Abihu. And I want to share something with you out of Leviticus chapter 10, because when you look at this, you think, that's pretty strong stuff. But it's Leviticus chapter 10. He said, now Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, and Aaron was Moses' brother, and that really Moses wanted him to be a spokesman, said, took the perspective, or respective ceremonial censers, put fire in them, placed incense on it, and offered strange fire before the Lord, which the Lord had not commanded. And fire came down from the presence of the Lord and devoured them, and they died before the Lord. It's not totally clear what they did, but what they did was out of God's will, out of God's direction, out of God's guidance. A lot of people in here are grandfathers. I'm not. We're wanting to get married first. Yeah, that's kind of the way we look at it. But you know what? If they don't, God will still love them. God's not the grandpa that we are. He struck two people dead. They got what they deserved because they did something out of God's will. Is God fair because he did that? Did they deserve that? What we deserve is most likely death because of the sin in our lives. In Romans 6:23, it says, the wages of sin is death. That's what Paul is saying. Everybody here that worked and retired, I spent 35 years working for a company and oftentimes thought I should have quit at about 20 and went somewhere else. But I got paid for what I did. I paid well for it. But I was blessed for that opportunity. What Paul is saying is that the wages of sin is death. The wages of being unforgiven by God is death. But he also went on to say, for I will be merciful and gracious toward their wickedness, and I will remember their sin no more. So what do we deserve? We deserve death. Well, what did God do? He died on the cross. Now, I will also tell you that there is such a thing as divine inequality. During my work in the business world, we always had annual appraisals for people. And as a result of the annual appraisal, people would get a salary review based on what they did. Now, I was always a big fan of trying to treat people fairly, but I also had, at that point, the final say-so in what those 50 or 60 people that worked for me got. And one year, some supervisor bought me a salary recommendation for one of the person that worked for him. And I said, there is no salary increase for this individual. And he said, why? And I said, because every time that we roll something out, they complain about it. And I said, as a seasoned employee with the company, if they don't like it, they need to keep quiet, but they need to support it. Because there was a lot of things they rolled out I didn't like. But I also liked that bi-monthly check. And I would confidentially tell people that I didn't like it, but that's the way it was. Unfairness, and she looked at it, that employee that didn't get a raise, she looked at it as being unfair. And maybe it was. But unfairness is how it affects us. It's not how it affected me. Jesus knew he would deal with this type of thing all through his life. Sandy touched on, and I can take this point out of my message, but she touched on the owner of the vineyard who hired people in the morning, and then he hired people the last hour of the day. He hired them all for the same wage, except those people that came early thought, well, he's pretty generous. He's going to give us more than he gave the person that come at the 11th hour. And when he didn't, they were upset because they didn't think it was fair. Guy, you know, you're just not fair with us. He said, well, didn't you agree to this? And their answer was yes. I agreed to it, but it's not fair. That's kind of what they were saying. Fair or just, the question is, you know, that we ask is, was the master fair? Did he do what he said he would do? And he did do it. Sometimes justice is delayed. We read about and hear about Sandy Hook and Columbine and the movie theater in Aurora, Colorado. All senseless deaths, and we ask why and we wonder why. Does justice prevail in the world? If it does, why won't it kick in right now when I think it should? Is good in control? Is God in control? King David asked, how long will you judge unjustly and show partiality to the wicked? In Job 34, Elihu quoted Job, he says, I am innocent and God denies me justice. The one thing we don't want is justice. The one thing we want is God's mercy. They were asking a question long before we were born. There's a story in Luke chapter 18. I would encourage you to read it. I'm just going to kind of share a little bit of it. But there was a widow there who continued to persist with a judge, an unfair judge who wouldn't give her any time. And finally, he just got worn down by her. Would it be safe to say, men, has that ever happened to you? That's a better response than I thought I was going to get. But he just got worn down about asking for justice and for justice and for protection. So he went back and granted her that legal protection, even though at that day they had no legal standing. What Jesus was saying is, you have mercy. You may not feel you have fairness, but you have mercy. So how do we keep trusting God when we feel like things aren't fair? When we're tired of praying? When there's a lack of fairness in our lives? When it's hard to hang on? How do we deal with that? What do we do? Well, the first thing you can do is cry when you hurt. Admit there's pain. Don't deny it. Admit the problem to God that you don't think it's fair. Trust God more than your feelings. We get in a hurry for an answer. We got to have it right now. That's not the way God responds. That's not the way God deals with things. And I remember reading and sharing, I think, in a message about prayer that God may not answer a prayer for you because the person that's going to bless you is not quite ready to do that. Choose loyalty over logic. Settle into the mystery of God. Who is he? Rest in the fact that human logic doesn't always work. But faith works. We were talking this morning in class, and I thought it was a great subject about faith and believing. And if you're not in a Bible study, I would encourage you to come at 9:15, 9:20, 9:21 on Sunday morning and get involved because there's some good stuff in there that I get for sermon material. But we're talking, you know, about different things out of the Psalms. And the one thing that we can know for sure is that if we remain faithful, God will remain faithful. We don't want to lose our faith because things didn't happen as fast as we think they should. But we should be abundantly grateful for each day, for what we have, not what our neighbor has, but what we have. Friends, family, church. That's what God wants us to do, is to be abundantly thankful for what we have and to acknowledge that.